Hard
I
to
mean,
explain.
I could, we could blow this podcast up with what I want to say. even though it's going to blow up anyways, I'm talking about this clip would blow up.
Burdette for the lead. Yes! Burdette with a three. Bullseye! What a shot by Burdette!
This is From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette, presented by Eddie. Happy people make for a happy business. And now, your hosts, Spencer Linton and Jimmer Fredette.
Oh, yes, we're shooting our shot in the podcast world.
Man.
I am Spencer Linton. He is Jimmer Fredette, and this is From the Logo. Our deep range conversations about life in and beyond the world of sports. Jimmer, it's about time we did this, and now that you're not flying a million miles around the year or around the world every year, we have time.
We have time. Well, I mean, we have time, but I swear, you retire and you get busier. And I don't know how it happens, but it does. And that's what people told me. They're like, you're going to retire, you're going to have a lot more to do. And that's the case, right? Obviously, three children all going to be in school this year. And then we have USA Basketball, we have Tandem Ventures, we have a bunch of other things that are going on. We're starting a podcast, which I can't wait to do here, but just super excited. It's been a long time coming, and I'm excited to be with a professional like you, Spence, so appreciate the opportunity.
Let's go, brother. Cannot wait to go on this adventure with you. And let me clarify, I guess, after you made those statements, we're just adding another thing to your incredibly busy schedule, which makes perfect sense, right?
Yeah, for sure. Why not? Right? Let's just do it. Let's just keep adding to the list. What else can we do? But this is at the top of the list, though. I've been wanting to do this for a long time. I'm super excited about it. Gives us a voice, right? Gives us a voice to be out, do it, be able to go out there and be able to talk to people that are going to be super interesting. People that, you know, hopefully all of our audience have heard before. And if not, they'll get to know that person and get to know about their life story and kind of what uplifts them and what makes them tick. And I'm super excited to be able to do that.
Again, this is our very first episode, if you hadn't gathered that already. And before we continue, we need to give the listeners a brief introduction into what we want to accomplish here. And I think that begins with, ultimately, what motivated you specifically to begin this journey, Jimmer, in podcasting media?
Yeah, totally. I mean, for me, you know, it's all about just being able to uplift, educate listeners and the viewers that are out there. You know, you just using a bunch of topics, current events, my life, Spence, your life. We'll get into your life some, of course, and obviously our featured guests, all of their lives, and kind of just centered on humanity, physical and mental health, spirituality, faith, sports, family, how you can, you know, work, business life, all of these different things that, you know, these guys and girls don't always get to talk about. A lot of times we'll have, if we do have sports people on, they get to talk about sports a lot, but not about their lives necessarily. And the most important things that happen into their lives. And we get to have deep conversations being able to do that. So just, we're going to have a really engaging podcast. We'll have, you know, listeners that'll be able to give us questions and be able to humanize me and you and the hosts and our guests and be able to, you know, hopefully be able to relate to those experiences. So just pumped for this and can't wait to get started.
I'm ready for Jimmer to be my life coach. You want to take on that challenge, bro?
No one wants to take on that challenge, Spence. Man, no one wants to take that challenge on, man.
Ooh, that's a lot. It's a lot to ask. Yeah. Joking aside, really excited to talk with people who are excellent at what they do. Now, with all that said, let's get to our opening tip-off. And we already mentioned that since you've retired, your life has picked up. So what exactly have you been doing on a day-to-day basis as you take on this USA Basketball 3x3 General Manager Challenge and are taking a much more increased role with your kids at home?
Yeah, for sure. That's the number one thing. The kids at home, right? Being a full-time dad has been incredible. Three little ones, Wesley, who's 8, going into third grade this year. Taft, who's 6, going into first grade. And then Grayson, who is 3, and she's going into her first year of pre-K. So just so much fun. You know, you're like a taxi driver, just getting people around, you're getting people around to their activities and being a cheerleader and having fun watching them play their sports and do their dance and gymnastics and all these fun things. So that's most important thing and been awesome. You know, a partner at Tandem Ventures, which is a VC firm in Utah. I actually live in Colorado, so I do that remote, but to be able to be with the guys and kind of invest in the new wave of tech companies that are coming through Utah and kind of that Intermountain area. That takes a lot of my time. That's my main full-time gig. And then obviously USA basketball, 3x3 managing director. That's a real honor. That's something that is, you know, I never thought that I would have that position, you know, growing up, be a head person at USA basketball. You know, that's Grant Hill. That's what he does. You know, the Sue Bird, that's what she does. You know, that's not a role for me, but they, for some reason, gave me the keys to be able to do that. And we're going to talk about it here on the podcast for sure. We're going to talk about some 3x3 bass because people don't know what it is still, right? So I want to educate, talk about that a little bit, show some love to my 3x3 guys out there all over the world. And so that'll be fun. But yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing. I have a few other side things, but and now the podcast. So here we go.
Come on, let's go. Okay, so with the keys to the ignition of the 3x3 wagon, that's a huge responsibility. But I have to know, what keys are you using in the carpool realm? Is this minivan Jimmer, or are you not quite in that realm?
Listen, I love a good minivan. I grew up, my family, when I grew up in upstate New York, Glens Falls, New York, shout out to Glens Falls, we had two green Dodge Caravan minivans growing up. Two of them. They're the exact same car. I don't know why we did it. I was like, Dad, what is going on here? Why do we have two green Dodge? You know, so that's I'm a big proponent of them. We don't currently have those. Whitney has a nice car. I have a Hummer. The electric Hummer.
Yeah.
So it is one of those things where, you know, they can kind of trash it a little bit because there's dogs and I can't forget about snacks or dogs or a dog that jumps in the back and has dog hair everywhere. But yeah, other than that, we got the three little ones and we make that work. But I'm trying to get Whitney to get a minivan because they're extremely practical.
Listen, our buddy Steve Young, he carpools in his Toyota Sienna and he calls it the Swagger.
You.
It's the Swagger wagon. That's what he calls it.
I know. And you don't door ding anyone, right? You can just slide the door. And I'm like, that's a big thing with kids. They just throw the door open. You're like, come on, what's going on?
Yes.
Just, you know, just push the button, it goes. So I'm trying to advocate for it here.
Admittedly, I was hesitant until I got in the
seat. Tried it. Yeah.
And realize how convenient it is.
Uh-huh.
And now we've been a minivan family for the last 5 years. So when or if you want to join the fold, Jimmer, with arms wide open,
I'm going to ask you. Yeah, I'll ask you.
I have all of the details.
Let's
I also have details about a fantastic show lineup today, which includes one of the most engaging and unique and fun personalities in professional sports right now, and that is Kyle Van Noy. He is crushing it in the NFL. We're not sure how old he is, so we'll try
Can't
and
tell.
Solve that mystery, right?
Yep, absolutely.
What an unbelievable career he is having right now and resurgent late into his middle 30s, Jimmer. That's tough to do, to say the least, in the NFL.
I mean, any professional sport. Or when you're, you know, into your mid 30s, you know, you're pretty much old. That's just how it works, right? So I'm 36. I just retired, and you know, I'm ancient for basketball. You know, that's just how it goes. For Kyle to be able to do this has been incredible. That's just a testament to how he keeps his body in shape, how he keeps healthy, also mentally, just to be able to lock in every single day through the ups and downs that he's had through his career. That we'll be able to talk to him a little bit about. There's a lot that has gone on, but him to be able to stay locked in mentally, physically, emotionally, and to be able to have his best year of his career probably last year is honestly pretty incredible. And I want to get into his mind and know how he did this, because that's not easy to do.
When did your relationship with Kyle Van Noy begin? Because I know you had years crossover while you were competing for your specific teams at BYU. Obviously you on the basketball court at the Marriott Center, and then Kyle doing his thing at Lavelle Edwards Stadium and beyond.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it started, you know, he's a year or two younger than me. So he was, you know, at BYU, and I met him when I was sophomore or junior there. And, you know, the way that we met is we actually had, we shared the weight room with the football team, and we actually shared the strength and conditioning coach. So for us, we were doing all of the football workouts. We were all huge, and we were like, we don't know why we're doing 6 sets of cleans and 14 sets of bench and all this stuff. Like, all this stuff was going on. But because of that, we got to know the football team really well, because they'd come in and out. And obviously Kyle was one of those guys. He was one of the best players, and we got to have a relationship, and he always wanted to, you know, play basketball with us because, you know, he thought he could hang, and we got to know each other through that. A lot of the football players do. We can have that debate later, but it was great. He was such a good dude. You know, he was energetic, full of life, worked hard, and just someone that I related to really quickly.
He obviously left his mark at BYU with just some incredible highlights. Some of the best plays in BYU football history. And that's saying something, because that's a program with a ton of prestige and tradition. And he's got multiple plays that will go down as some of the greatest at BYU. And then you watch what he's done for 5 different NFL franchises. I know that there were some struggles in Detroit. Never really found the right fit in that defensive scheme. But man, once the Patriots pulled him over, every Lions fan was like, what the heck? Why couldn't we use this guy this way? And he goes and wins 2 Super Bowls with the Patriots.
Yeah, it's time and situation in professional sports a lot of the time. So I understand that just as much as anybody else. And sometimes you don't fit into a system. Coach doesn't believe in what you do, whatever it may be. And then once you get into the right system, as long as you stay mentally prepared and mentally locked in and you get your opportunity, then you have an opportunity to actually go out there and show what you can do. If you can do that, like he did, once you find that right spot, you're able to go out there and be able to crush. And New England gave him an opportunity. Obviously, New England is fairly smart, I would say, with what they have done over the past 20 years and how they've stayed super relevant, winning Super Bowls. So they kind of knew what they were doing. They saw something in Kyle that that obviously others did not, but we all saw it. So it was really, really impressive, and just love that he did it.
All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, the man, Kyle Van Noy, takes on our full court press when From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette continues.
AVN, let's go.
This episode is brought to you by Eddie, the HR software built for small businesses who put people first. At Eddie, we believe work isn't just about payroll or paperwork. It's about people, culture, and the everyday wins that make life meaningful.
Eddie helps leaders spend less time on HR headaches and more time building teams that thrive.
Welcome back to From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette. Let's roll out the full court press. Our featured guest on today's show hails from Reno, Nevada, is a 2-time Super Bowl champion, a second-round NFL draft pick in 2014, and has played for 5 NFL franchises, including his current team, the Baltimore Ravens. He's also fresh off, arguably, his best season ever when he finished the year with a new career-high 12.5 sacks in 16 games and was selected to his first-ever Pro Bowl at the age of 33. Or is it 34? It doesn't matter. Ladies and gentlemen,
you don't know.
Kyle Van Noy. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I'm pumped to be here. Let's go.
All right. How old are you really, brother?
That was such a good video. That was such a good video.
Asking NFL players how old are you is like asking a woman how old she is. You just don't do it.
You don't do it, man.
Just don't do it. And then say you're 21, you know? I'm 21.
Yep. Yeah, 21, body feels great. Yep. No props, no injuries at all. I
never had an issue.
Not one time. That's so great.
Funny you say injuries. It's crazy how the world has changed. Sorry, that got a little noise, but it's crazy that surgery is now kind of like, it's just surgery, you know?
Like, it's what it is.
NFL players make it sound like it's like going to the dentist.
Literally. You go in like 3-4 times a year. We're good. Get it touched up, and now we're good.
Yeah. It's crazy.
You know the anesthesiologist very well. Let's put it that way. That's great, man. But, you know, one other hard-hitting question before we get into this. Like, I know a big basketball fan, okay? And
huge.
I know you can play a little bit. You know what I mean? Obviously. Yeah. So, you know, who would fare better? Me versus you, okay? One-on-one basketball or offensive lineman, defensive lineman? I'm offensive lineman, you're a defense. Who's faring in that matchup?
That's a good question. That's a very hard-hitting question. I mean, the competitor in me's gonna say me, right?
Of course, of course.
But if I'm looking at it strategically, like, there's got to be other variables, you know? Like, okay, are you just trying to get in my way so the quarterback can throw the ball? I'd feel like you edge towards that, you know?
I'm just jumping on the ground and you at least have to hop over me. Right. Yeah. So there's just a little bit of time for someone to get throw off. It's going to be just a quick out route. That's it. That's all we can do.
But I will say there's a reason why you play basketball.
100%. I played football in high school and I said it was not for me. I'm like, hey, I loved it. It was cool. I stayed on the wide receiver and then I was done. I'm like, I'm not hitting anybody else. I'm good.
Yeah, that's funny.
Great stuff. Kyle Van Noy is with us on From the Logo. We have certainly enjoyed watching your resurgent career in the NFL, Kyle. So much fun to watch you go and take your energy and your enthusiasm for life and football to each of these franchises. And frankly, it's crazy to watch what you did last year because it's just so atypical. So what's the most important factor in your resurgence at this point of your career?
Mindset. Mindset's going to be the biggest thing for me. I just have dove into it the last 2 years really, really hard. I have a life coach that's really helped me. I feel like I needed one in kind of when I was transitioning in 23, like, what am I trying to do? Purpose? Yeah. Where am I going? I got a life coach / therapist / everything. My wife does that, so I have two of them.
absolutely.
But this lady has helped me just kind of shape my mindset better than it already was. Cause I feel like that's always been an edge for me, but now it's just clear, focused. I can use it in any aspect in anything in life. Kids, wife, parents, siblings, work, work outside of work, you know, all different aspects of life. So it's been really good for me, and I would say that's been like the biggest difference to me the last 2 years is just that mindset that I'm built different, and I really stand on it, and the work ethic that goes into it, but the preparation with the mentals and just going over plays, going over the mentals of, you know, what I want to expect with the game, how I see the game going, how I dream about the game going. All those things matter.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's such a big part of sports now, you know, your mental capacity of how you think on the field, how you think off the field, and, you know, what you're putting your time and energy into, right? Like, there's a lot of things you can't control in professional sports. You know that. I know that. Putting things into their mindset of the things that you can control when you're out on the field, that's huge when you get out there. And the thing is, man, you are built different, right? Like, you really are physically and mentally. But I think, you know, you have to actually believe it. And that's one thing that separates the good from the great, is believing that you can actually do these things. And I know you have that ultimate belief in yourself, which is really, really cool to see. But I'd like to segue, because you talked a little bit about, you know, fatherhood and, you know, kids, your wife. Like, how do you balance that, man? Because I know for a basketball standpoint, we go to practice for 2 hours and then we're done for the day, right? We might watch a 30-minute film session, something like that. You guys are in there all day, every day during the season because you're watching film. You are going over. You're having group meetings. You're having team meetings. You're having nutrition sessions. You're having everything, right? Yeah. Lifting. So how do you balance that during the season? Because I know you want to be the best dad and father and husband that you can be.
Yeah. During the season is kind of difficult, right? It's you have to be a little bit more selfish, but it's understandably. But I also have something a lot of people don't. I have essentially 6 months on and 6 months off. Yeah. At this point in my career, I don't do OTAs. So I'm not in the building for 6 months, essentially. And then I am in the building 6 months. So it's just that sacrifice. Marissa, she's the reason why we're able to do it because of her sacrifice and selflessness. She's the goat of our family, the MVP. She's actually the athlete as well. She played volleyball in college. So she's the reason why the thing works that I'm able to work and not even think about stuff outside, because she runs it like a really, really good captain would, just like your wife did it when 100%. It's you got to be really, I'm really grateful. I picked a great partner. She's my teammate. I call her co-pilot. I tell people, don't pick a passenger, pick a co-pilot. She's definitely a co-pilot.
It's not always easy. Like you said, it's not always easy being married to a professional athlete, all the emotions that go into it, right? When you come off the field, being able to try to take what you had on the field and be able to leave it on the field when you come home, you know, because you got to be dad. And
especially when I'm a sore loser, Jim.
100%. Yes. Just like, I get that. I get that. So.
Wait, you want me to clean the diaper after we just lost?
No, get out of here. Like,
come on now. We just lost. Come on. No, exactly. So, no, that's great. I mean, I want to talk a little bit about the career. So let's jump in. Like, just take me back when you were with the Detroit Lions really quickly, right? Like, obviously, it was one of those things where it was a little bit more of a frustrating time for you. I've been in that situation when I was with the Kings, you know, my first few years, also a very frustrating situation. So I know that we've talked about this. We've kind of gotten this from each other. Just take me back and talk about that a little bit, how that was difficult for you, how you dealt with it. And then ultimately we'll go into, you know, when we're able to get traded to the Patriots, but I want to talk about the Lions first.
Yeah. So you said something earlier talking about going into an organization and controlling what you can control.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know what that means. And, you know, it's hard to even discuss on a podcast what that means. I mean, other people have. I would say the best way to describe it is there are so many politics. There's so many different people that have opinions that are in power that you have no idea about that are actually running football teams and different things like that, and coaches that have agendas and GMs that have agendas that you have no control of. And the way to do that is keeping it simple by controlling the controllables, like you said. And for me, when I was in Detroit, it didn't work out right there. I didn't get instant gratification, but I watched all the pros that have been in the league a long time. Dominic Raiola, who his son is actually the quarterback of Nebraska. That's crazy. If I keep playing, I'm going to play with
really?
His son. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's funny.
But, he was like an OG of mine. I had Calvin Johnson, who that's like top
Megatron, man.
Teammate I've ever had, just because – I don't know. He was just cool to me. He like always took me under his like wing, always showed love, still does to this day. I was just texting him the other day. Like, it's awesome to be able to text somebody like that if I ever needed advice or anything, and he would give it. And then Stafford and guys, Reggie Bush was right next to me. So guys that have been in the league a long time, and I watched them, how they took care of their body, how they approached work, you know, what they did. And I followed that, and I followed it religiously. And I didn't get instant playing time. I had injuries, so I was battling those things, but I put in the work. I knew once I got my opportunity, that like one shot mentality, that I was going to succeed. And I never fully got a full opportunity in Detroit. I started to, and I started to get better and started playing my third year, which eventually they were like, hey, he's worth something now, let's get rid of him something. And that's eventually what happened. And then when I was in New England, where I got traded that third year, I knew they had a plan for me. This is what they wanted, this is the role they saw, you do this, you'll play. And I knew all the coverages because I put in extra work studying, playing off the ball. I was healthy because I took care of my body. I was in shape because I was doing extra. I was ready for that opportunity. And I knew that if I let this one slip, I could be out of the league in 2 years, like you hear. But, you know, now the rest is history.
Kyle, I want to share some background here, because the day you got traded to the Patriots, I was talking with Steve Young on a separate show, and the news broke. And I told Steve, I'm like, dude, Kyle Van Noy just got traded to the Patriots. And he goes, well, he just won a Super Bowl.
That's funny.
And I was like, whoa, Steve, yeah, that's quite a statement. He's like, no, really. He's going to win a Super Bowl.
He's going to win a Super Bowl. Yeah.
You go and you win two. You had four super successful seasons in New England in your initial go-around. You went to Miami for one season, back to New England for one more. But you, of all people, can understand the Patriot way. So what does the Patriot way mean to you?
Like heat culture, man. It's like heat culture.
It's hard to explain. We could blow this podcast up with what I want to say. Even though it's going to blow up anyways, I'm talking about this clip would blow up. But I think for me, the best way to describe it is somebody that's willing to give up their agenda for the greater good.
Right.
I think that's probably the best way to explain it, because you have so many people, and that is coaches, that's players, management, that's equipment people, that's everyone. That was kind of the standard of everyone being selfless, of, you know, always picking up the slack somewhere if it needed it, like just different things like that, which, you know, sounds simple, but it really was. That group that I won, we're bonded forever. We still are in group chats together. We still talk. I mean, I saw Tommy before the Dallas game, and we talked for 45 minutes before the game. I was like, you got to go announce the game, and I got to play, you know? But
yeah,
it's just that brotherhood where it doesn't matter. You see people randomly, but it's a bond that can't be broken, and you just have this genuine feel that you put in so much time, effort, energy, tears, cuss words at each other, everything, in order to do the greater good of winning the Super Bowl. And it was awesome to be a part of it. And I've put it into my life and still put it into my play. That kind of attitude is, if you're really trying to win, everybody needs to focus on winning. Even if you're not happy with your role or your contributions, you got to put that to the side and focus on winning. And when you do get your op, you got to take advantage.
Yeah, and that's something that starts at the top, right? Like for me, like I was with San Antonio for a few months, and it was kind of a similar type of style where it's like, hey, you know, this is what we do, this is how we do it. And I remember Tim, you know, Timmy Duncan, he was at every offseason workout. He got yelled at more than anybody by Coach Popovich. And because of that, he could take that criticism and he would go and he would do it.
That's the standard.
That's the standard. So if he can do that, why would I come in and feel like anything different?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, so whatever.
I'm getting cussed out in meetings, you're over there.
100%.
What?
Exactly. You're like, if he's getting cussed out, what do I?
Yeah.
What do I do?
I must suck if he sucks.
He's terrible. Why am I on the team? You know, so, but that's how it works. And, you know, I understand that. So that's pretty amazing to hear. And, you know, as you, you know, went forward in the career, you kind of, you know, kind of went into a path of, you know, had four super successful seasons. Then you go to Miami for a season. Then you go back to New England for another season. Then you go to LA, where you played really well, actually, but got released at that time. And I just want to know what your mindset was at that point, right? You get released by the Chargers. You've been playing really well. You get released by the Chargers. What's your mindset of like, hey, did you ever think of, hey, I don't want to play anymore? Or was it like, no, I am 100% in. I am definitely doing this. I'm getting back on a squad and we're going to do it.
Yeah. So getting released by Miami after 1 year was hard. And then going back to New England and then getting released after that was tough.
Yeah.
All gut punches, all stuff you wish you didn't have to go through. Yeah, there's always thoughts of could I do more and all those things? Do I want to keep playing? Yeah. And you just kind of figure it out. Like, so many people don't say this, but it's okay to feel stuff sometimes, you know?
Oh, it's
really okay. Like,
normal.
We're in such this kind of gratification, always got to be happy, always got to have peace. Sometimes it's okay to be mad, and it's okay.
100%.
It's okay.
Sad, to be sad. Whatever it is. Yeah.
Whatever it is, but
yeah,
you can't stay there. And
right,
time helps. Talking a little bit about it, not all the time, because I feel like, you know, that kind of goes against, I'm not a therapist, but it kind of goes against when you keep talking about all the bad things that keep happening. They're going to keep happening. So you want to talk about it, but it's like, we got to get over it and then get back
on
the positive mindset. And, you know, that's been a process that I'm still learning. And I think we've done a good job. And like I said earlier, Marissa is a big reason why she's been my coach, therapist, massage therapist. She's my nutritionist. She's really done everything to continue to give me the mindset to keep playing. She's probably the biggest reason why I'm still playing, because she's like, you're not done yet. You got enough juice. And it's great to have a partner to do that. And I would just say I leaned heavily on her, and then I just leaned heavily into, you know, God. Like, I love God. I know he has a great plan, and, you know, I really am heavy into prayer. Sorry for everybody, I don't go to church every Sunday.
No, hey, no.
But I play here on Sunday.
Yeah, that's true. Not too easy.
I say my prayers, and I'll tell anyone this, if you are really asking, searching, wanting any of the things that you want in life or answers, you might not get it right then. You might not get it a week, you might get it 5, 10, 15 years later, but I promise you, you'll get it.
Man, I love
incredible.
That. Spence, I'm going to let you ask the question after that, Spence, but I just want to respond to that real, but just, you know, being a faith-driven person as well. It's just such a big deal, you know, for me. And I know it is for you, Kyle, as well, just to be able to sometimes you just have to have faith. And my mom was huge into this. She used to always say KTF to me. That's what she would say. It was keep the faith, right? And to be able to do that is really hard sometimes.
Oh,
you know, it's extremely
hard. It's
so
easy to say.
It's so easy to say. It's so easy as a punchline, but it is extremely hard to do. If you can do it, and obviously being prayerful is important to me, to make decisions in my life of where I wanted to play and you know, how I wanted to feel and how I could, you know, help myself through different problems and good times and bad times. So I just love hearing that. And, you know, that's a big deal. So I appreciate that coming from you.
Yeah.
We love how you're using your platform, Kyle.
Thanks.
I'm
not a spiritual giant. You know, I'm a little bit more reserved on my faith and express it, but it's in there.
It's there. Hey, that's
clearly
the biggest thing. That's
clearly
the biggest thing.
It's there. And in, you can see it in the way that you live.
Yeah.
I mean, faith in action. So, I don't think you need to worry about that at all, because we can see it. You
absolutely
exude it. And just love that you have this mindset of overcoming adversity. You know, Jimmer calls it KTF. You go to prayer, just get to the next moment, process through it and get to the next moment. And I want to rewind to something that happened last season when you have an orbital bone fracture, Kyle. Like, bro, like,
that just sounds like it hurts.
Yeah.
You don't miss any time. How? Yeah. How is that possible if you're not going to the well of prayer and KTF and those other proper mindsets?
Well, here's something crazy that I'll add to that is after it happened, I take flights and to see my family because I had a couple days. And so I'm hanging out at home with this broken face. It was crazy because that whole week I was already mindset, I'm playing.
You're good, right? Like we talked about. You're good.
I'm good.
You have no injuries.
None. But I'm taking Allegra D at night. Cause I'm like, the doctors, I was like, man, I'm like, I have so much pain. Like, I can't sleep. What's going on? And we started like backtracking what I'm doing. And then I show them like, I'm taking this stuff and I'm taking it before bed at like 9:30. And they're like, what? If anybody knows, that has a stimulant in it. It's supposed to make you awake. What are you doing? I'm like, dang, I just made football players act look dumb again.
That is absolutely great.
Come on, Kyle, what are we doing?
Head scratcher.
Football players look dumb.
And if I had an orbital bone fracture, I'd be out for 6 months, right? Like, I'm not playing.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's built different. I love it.
It's funny. My buddy Zach Sealer, he just signed a huge contract for the Miami Dolphins. Yep. I was his teammate for just 1 year. He actually had an orbital fracture in the season, and he missed a week. And I'm like, it's soft.
He was like, it's a week.
I was
man?
Like, you
Come
missed
on, man.
1 week and you're soft.
It's a full 7 days, bro. What is wrong with you?
that is hilarious. Kyle Van Noy with us on From the Logo. Okay, I want to go back to something you had a chance to do recently, and I saw you wrote specifically, and I quote, last Friday I was at the Savannah Bananas game at Camden Yards. You said, in the middle of the fun, they celebrated a foster family on the field. I was honored to be part of celebrating them. I was adopted, and I know for certain that belonging changes everything. I've seen firsthand what culture really does. Kyle, I love that, and I love that you had the opportunity to go and do that and connect with some people that you can absolutely empathize with and you understand. What was that moment like for you to be at Camden Yards with that family, knowing everything that's gone into your own foundation and what goes into that as well?
I mean, it was amazing. I felt honored that we were able to set that up and be a part of it, and just the stars aligned where I didn't have fall camp during that time and was able to go out. It was sold out. I wouldn't say I've seen a bunch of stuff on the Savannah Bananas. I read up on the Coles, how Jesse's, you know, I did the research of how he watched games, you know, the attention span. That's why he has a 2-hour timer, just different things he's paid attention to. So I didn't know all of that, but I didn't understand the Savannah Banana culture until I was there. And
right.
It was so awesome to be a part of it, because I'm in there and I'm like, I want to play. Like, I'll go out there and strike out. Like, I don't care. Like, just
go dance.
It was just such a good family friendly environment that this country needs. And it didn't matter what, if you were Democrat, Republican, Black, White, Hispanic, it just, nothing of that mattered. It was all, everyone was a part of the show. And I loved that. And I wanted to be a part of that. And to be able to honor this family, they had 12 kids all adopted. It was awesome.
So cool.
Be able to cheer them on, you know, give them props for, you know, what they've done. They've changed those kids' lives forever. And I will say, foster kids don't want to be in that situation, right? They don't sign up for it. It's unfortunate, but they deserve a chance just like anybody else. And they're all some of the, if you give them love, they're the best kids. They're so good. And they're so funny. You just got to take time with them and, you know, show them how much they're loved and appreciated.
Incredible insight from Kyle Van Noy. Okay, we're going to call a quick timeout. And before we let you go after the break, we have a couple of fan-submitted questions that I'm sure are going to be some doozies, Kyle. Okay. Some incredible questions for you. super stoked to have you on. So stick around with us. When we come back on From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette, it's open gym time for KBN. Today's show is powered by Etty, because good work deserves to be celebrated. Etty makes HR simple so small businesses can focus on what really matters, their people.
From hiring and onboarding to payroll and culture, Etty helps teams run smoothly. and reminds us that behind every business, there's a story worth celebrating.
Welcome back to From the Logo with Jim Fredette, and it is now time for our listener questions. We call it Open Gym, and Jimmer, I'm going to allow you to ask the first one coming in from at Maria Garcia FTW.
Yes, first question we have here is, what lasting effects did it have for you attending BYU have on your life?
Honestly, relationships like this, relationships with Spencer, Jimmer, Hema, who's in the background, shout out to you, Hema, people like that, I'm very grateful for, because I could call you guys at any point and be like, hey, how you doing? You know, I could ask you probably for a favor and you guys would do it. And that's just who you guys are. But because of the relationship, the bond that people have created and we've created like a community, and we can do, I could go down the list of just the group of athletes that were there during our time, from Brandon Davies to Kyle Collinsworth to Brandon Ogletree. The list can go on. We could go to baseball as well. And we could talk about so many different other people, but it's because of the relationships we all put in. And I would credit the student athlete building that brings a lot of that, closeness. I remember when Jim, I'll never forget this story. This one's good. It ended up happening to me my senior year. My senior year, it happened to me where you couldn't go to class anymore.
Nope. Yep, exactly.
And there is this one room that I knew Jimmer was always in. And I would, you know, being who I am, I would always like tap on the window and like check in and always see him signing autographs and, you know, doing homework right here.
A lot of homework in that building, KVN. Yeah. A lot of homework.
And I would always check on him just on a human level. Like, Jimmer, what's up? It wasn't even about basketball. It would just be like, Jimmer, what's up, man? Keep doing your thing. Hope you're doing good. And that was it. That was kind of our relationship. But it was just like that bond of me being able to do that and Jimmer being cool about it. It's just like that level of trust and just love that you had. And I don't think there's many places like that where guys can sit there, or girls, and you can go and talk to so many athletes that were at that period in time and say they have relationships.
No.
Kyle, a couple of things, more questions as we wrap up here. And I'll just say this. I'm just glad that somehow you were only a 2-star recruit out of McQueen High School, bro. Oh, I'm glad that you got to BYU. People didn't
That's
know,
right.
but they found out real quick when you
yes,
were at
they
BYU.
Did.
And you're bullish on the Cougs. You say they're going to go 10-2 this season. So with that backdrop, this question comes in from at Wheatley Hayden, from at Joe Henry, who says, whose game at linebacker do you like better, Isaiah Glasker or Jack Kelly?
Ooh. Feel like both, they're both really good. They both complement each other because they're both different players. I'm always gonna go whoever can get me the ball the most, so I'm gonna have to go with Glasker. He still is raw, has a long way to go, but just his playmaking ability, he just pops on the film when you watch, and he has a really long career. He reminds me of a kind of a taller version of Fred, not as physical as Fred, so that's something he can work on. But as far as the playmaking ability, I think, you know, I hate comparisons because he's not Fred, but like you could just see little glimpses of him just with his playmaking ability. I like Glasker.
Love that. And
I don't like his mustache, though.
Gotta get rid of that.
Did you like his Coach Prime shuffle after the interception against Colorado? Dude.
Yeah, I did. See, he's got swag, though.
Yes.
I like that.
It's important. It's important.
Right. Yes. All right.
Cool. Let's do one.
Hold on. Before you guys go, I have questions for you.
Let's go. Oh, yeah. Anything
first one's going to be for Jimmer, because I'm in the media world now, too. So
I know.
I got to dish it back a little bit.
Let's go.
you just became kind of the GM of USA basketball, and you know, look, you have your team set. I just saw that announced. Besides winning gold as obviously the pinnacle of what you want to do, what do you want to be like remembered for in USA basketball for the most?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, for me, like, I got into it a couple years ago, right? And dove in full head first. I was like, there's the Olympics attached to it, had an opportunity to possibly play in the Olympics. I'm like, this is a great time for me to be able to jump in and learn something new, right? It was difficult to get good at, you know, because I came in so fresh and everyone was really good at what they did. There's so many little things that you need to learn while you're playing. So I liked that aspect, got addicted to it because of it, was working relentlessly the last 2 years trying to do that. And it was great. Obviously, as a player, was able to get to the Olympics, all the stuff. I obviously got injured. It was tough. Not a fun experience as far as that's concerned. But for me, I was like, man, I love this sport and I want to be able to give back as much as I can and be able to actually create a USA Basketball 3x3 program. And that's what I want the legacy to be. Whether we win gold in the Olympics or not, obviously that's the goal, like you said. But I want to leave USA Basketball better than where it started, and actually having kids being like, hey, this is a viable option to play professionally. And if I can be able to build a program that way and leave it in really good hands where guys are coming in and playing and aspiring to be an Olympic medalist at the Olympics for 3x3 basketball, I feel like I've done my job. So that's the goal, trying to get it out there, trying to talk about it, trying to, you know, get guys to come play. And once I do that and I build an actual program where a pipeline of guys that are good and want to continue to play, then I feel like I've done my job. So that's the goal.
Oh, that's really dope. That's cool. Yeah. I would, last question to that. How much have you been looking at the one stuff, the guys that are going one-on-one and seeing if that could like transfer to 3-on-3? Because essentially you have more space, so you're able to do one-on-one, and there's, yeah. I mean, YouTube has really kicked off the ones matches. I mean, I get juiced up watching those.
You like Mike Beasley and everybody?
Yeah, they get super intense. Yeah. You know, how would you, have you thought about maybe trying to incorporate that, you know, side of things, being able to like somehow, you know, manage it with USA Basketball of like getting some of those guys as well or looking into them? I don't know. That's kind of a weird
question. For sure. No, it's viable. So yeah, for me, I am looking at everybody, right? So like, I'm trying to figure out who actually wants to play the sport. That's the biggest thing, is who wants to actually commit to play 3x3 basketball. Because there's a lot of things that go in 3x3 basketball besides just getting on the court and playing. There is a crazy amount of travel, and it's not like the most luxurious travel you've ever been on in your entire life, right? And you're going to a bunch of these countries all over the world. And you get there, you're on no sleep. Then all of a sudden you play in these tournaments. I would say the refereeing is not the best refereeing in the world. There's a lot of little things that the guys do that you're like, this is illegal. This should not be in basketball. You can't screen this way. You can't do this stuff, but they do it and they get away with it and you can get frustrated. And I like to see guys that can go through that and then want to come back and be like, all right, I think I can get better at this and I want to do that. And it's a mixture of both. I've seen both where guys are like, I don't really like this. And the other guys are like, I kind of love it. So I have to kind of assess that whole thing as I get into the program, right? So finding guys with the right mindsets that want to just hoop and just want to play basketball and are like, hey, I'm cool with all the elements that go into it, and figuring those things out. But the guys, like ex-NBA guys that have, obviously that was my thing. I was an ex-NBA guy and a professional player and was able to dive in afterwards. We'd love to be able to find more of those guys to come in and play, because obviously talent is huge. If you can have talent, we'll be better than everybody else. And then it's learning the actual sport and how to play it.
Sure.
So trying to figure all of those things out, but yes, we're looking at all those guys and we're, you know, to just see if we can bring them into training camps at some point. And we've had mixed reviews, from some of the guys. But yeah, once we find a couple guys that are really into it and actually are like, hey, I want to do this. I want to get better at it and actually commit to it. then it'll be a lot easier for me to make that decision and be like, all right, you're in. Gotcha.
All right. Spence, my.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
My, obviously, we're going to dive into BYU sports. I'm going to go to the basketball side because, Jimmer, you can talk about it as well. Obviously, the main thing, we're all excited to see AJ. I'm excited to see AJ. Where do you see this team going? For me, I was just bragging to someone. I was like, if they're not in the Final Four, it's failed. Like, that's how I feel about it. Like, I want that to get blown out. I need the coach to see this. If you guys aren't in the Final Four, it's a disappointment because not only the money you guys put in, but the talent you have, the media you guys are doing, I need to see results, baby.
There we go. This is the real stuff. Spence, you go first.
Listen, Kyle, it's funny you bring this up because we were just talking about this a few weeks ago when the roster got finalized and the non-conference schedule got put together. BYU's going to be on so many huge platforms, MSG against Clemson. They're playing in Boston at TD Garden against UConn. They've got Wisconsin on the schedule at the home of the Utah Jazz. Like, they are doing this to ramp up for a tournament run. Like, they believe that they have laid out a schedule that's going to get them ready for a legitimate run at the Final Four. I think the floor, like, if BYU doesn't hit the Elite Eight, weirdly, it will be incredibly disappointing.
This is a
program that's been to one Elite Eight, right? Yeah. With Danny Ainge in 1981. Yeah. So we're already there. It's like, if they don't get to at least the Elite Eight, like you said, you're mad. They're Final Four good, Kyle. Like, they are Final Four good.
I knew I was right and talking
some
trash.
Dare to dream big, right? I mean, Rob Wright, the third, the point guard they brought in from Baylor, Baller. Is a walking bucket.
Yeah.
AJ, people don't know, Kyle. People don't know. You guys, people do not understand what a unique special talent he is.
I know, he's unique. Very good. And he's cocky. I love it.
Unique. He's really unique. And the thing of this is Coach Young, the one thing that you see with him, like last year, okay, his teams from the beginning of the year to the end of the year got way better. And that's a pro mentality. You know how that is, right? In football, sometimes you can start off a little bit slow, but then towards the end of the year, you're ramping up. And by playoffs, you are great, right? You're hitting at the right time. And that's kind of how NBA basketball teams do it too. You'll see some of the guys a little slow, ramp it up. And then all of a sudden by the end of the season, they're great. And that's how he runs his programs. So even if you see some of these early games, if they don't win them, right? If they are close or if they're battling and all of a sudden they lose a couple of early ones, I'm telling you, by the end of the season, they're going to be really good because they're going to find their roles, right? They're going to know exactly who's doing what. AJ's going to have exactly what he's doing. Richie's a huge part of that, being able to come back and just kind of like keep those guys together. So they are definitely Final Four good, but that's the difference this year is we never had these expectations. Not one time in our lives have we had this expectation. I don't even know if people thought with me they were gonna get to the Final Four. Don't know, man, but we thought we were gonna win it. I mean, we should have, but oh well. That's the difference, is the expectation, and if they can handle that, they are gonna be great.
That's so exciting. I will say what's been cool to watch, because I follow basketball. I wish I could play basketball like Jimmer can. But the one thing that I love about AJ that makes him different, like Cooper Flagg, is he plays really hard. Like,
exactly.
He's not too cool. Like, he's hustling. He's playing defense. Like, that's what I respect about Cooper Flagg so much is, but he was playing basketball.
Yes.
Like, kind of like hard that as he old could. That old cut cloth KG mentality. And I feel like he's a part of that, like this new revamp of it. Cooper Flagg, AJ, those guys are leading that pack of just that back to just basics of playing hard and being athletic.
Oh, they love the sport. Like, they want to play because they love
player.
It.
Kevin Young is like, I've challenged him to be all Big 12 defense. People don't understand. He's a good defensive player, too.
He need to challenge him being the Naismith player of the year. I don't care about no defense.
I didn't either. Yeah. I didn't care about any defense either. I was going for the Naismith, right?
Well, you have the trophy you see it right back there,
here.
Jimmer.
You see it back here.
Right there.
That's great. Oh. That's great.
Kyle, cool. Such great stuff, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
We want to give you a chance to plug your foundation because people need to know. People need to know. So where can they get more information about it?
Yeah, you could go to VannoyValorFoundation.org. Just type that in, VannoyValorFoundation.org. Type it in to a URL and it'll pop up and you can check it out, what we're doing. You can donate. You don't have to. We had a great fundraiser this year. All of those donations are going to go towards the very Vannoy Christmas that we'll have after Thanksgiving weekend for Christmas. Very excited about that. I believe we're doing 15 families this year. We host them at Real Salt Lake. It's a great time. It's fun.
So
there's ace painting. There's ornament making. Oh, it's sick. It's a blast. I love it every year. I look forward to it.
We love what you're doing. Thank you for all that, for all you're doing in the community, outside of the community, just being a good example, being a baller, the mindset, everything. We appreciate you, KVN. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle.
All right, we'll come back on From the Logo with a 3x3 update from USA Basketball. Stay with us. This break is sponsored by Eddie, the HR software with a soul. We're not just building tools to manage people. We're helping businesses create workplaces where people feel seen, valued, and inspired.
Eddie is proud to support the stories on From the Logo because the stories we share celebrate the soul. Kyle Van Noy and his foundation supporting foster care, Jeremy Guthrie, who is constantly serving people in every aspect of his life. It just fits together because Eddie is about people and the everyday wins that make work meaningful.
From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette continues, and we wrap up, as we will in most episodes, with a USA Basketball 3x3 update. Jimmer, I know you talked a little bit about it with Kyle during a fantastic conversation that we had. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that was
You wanted to know everything about it.
Yes. Okay. So you went into some of the details there, but just from a general perspective, where does USA Basketball stand in getting their team on a path to what you hope is gold for the Los Angeles Olympics in 2028?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, it's great. We've had a great summer so far. You know, the season starts in April, and it kind of, you have tournaments basically from April all the way through November. That's the season, 3x3 season. So we're in the midst of it right now. We just had a tournament in Edmonton where we made it to the quarterfinals, ended up taking fifth in that tournament, lost to Team Oob, who is number one team in the world right now out of Serbia. So they're obviously, the Serbians are super good at 3x3. You'll hear that a lot as we go through this, and but a super close game. And the thing of it is like, you don't win every tournament. Like, no one wins every tournament. You go into these things, you're banged up, you're tired, you're traveling, you have all this stuff going on, and whoever's playing well at that day wins these tournaments, right? And it's a little bit different when you get an international competition because you have weeks prior to actually build up for that. The World Cups, the Olympics, those types of things. So right now they're in the dog days, middle of the season, and they're actually going to Lausanne, Switzerland this weekend to be able to play in a Masters event, which is the highest level event outside of the Olympics and the World Cups. And they get to go play against everybody in the world. There's a lot of great teams in there. Our team Miami's is going to hopefully do well and fight the good fight. Hopefully get a win out there. But it's been a great season so far. So we're excited for them. Obviously, we'll continue to have updates as we go. I'll keep you updated on how they do every tournament. We'll talk about players. We'll talk about rules. You know, if you have questions, we want to hear questions so that I can talk about specific questions you have about 3x3 basketball. We're going to get into pretty much everything. So hopefully by the time you're done with this podcast, you will be a 3x3 expert. You'll know everything about the point system. You'll know everything about our team. You'll know what's going on. And we're just trying to promote it over here. So, That'll be fun, but I'll keep you updated on this next tournament in Lausanne for next week. And that's my segment for this week. Keep it simple, and we'll get into some nitty gritty stuff as we go.
Love it. Let's go, Team Miami. I feel like it's an appropriate time to remind everyone how they, as listeners and viewers, can get involved, specifically if they have questions for you or whoever our guests are, Jimmer. So how do they do that?
Yeah, so if you'd like to submit questions, obviously we want you to do that for our next show, for our episode, for our guest. Make sure you follow us on social media at JimmerFTL and be able to use the hashtag OpenGymFTL if you're going to submit a question. So we're excited about it. We love having your questions. We appreciate you guys, and get those questions in.
Some great ones today for Kyle Van Noy, no less. And that at JimmerFTL handle is available on X, Instagram, and Jimmer and his wife Whitney's favorite, TikTok.
Let's go.
All right, that'll do it for episode one of many of From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette. A reminder to shoot your shot, people. We'll see you next time.